Blog Talk Radio.
Now, those of you that are out in Radio Land, this is the golden and rare opportunity that you have every week now to wake up everyone in the household. This is the golden opportunity that you have if you're driving in your car to stop at the red light and let somebody know. This is a chance for you to do that. Call a loved one, call a neighbor, call a friend, call a co-worker. You'll have something better to discuss during the week if you would tune in to this radio ministry here today, where the real revolution in America is taking place. And I told you out in Radio Land, you don't want to miss this. I told you to wake up everybody in the household, because the real revolution is taking place from these microphones.
Super Legend were an invincible warrior race. I am their son, and at long last, I have risen to claim my birthright. I have stepped into the ranks of greatness. All my life, I have worked towards this goal.
Now on the front of the dollar bill, to the right of Washington's head,
is a small seal in the shape of a wheel with a secret that's been left unsaid. The symbols in the middle represent the riddle of the scales, the ruler, and the key. The square rule is a symbol from the craft of masonry. The scales represent Libra, the balance of the seventh sign. They also represent the just us, which you and I know is blind. The key unlocks the mysteries of the secrets of the seal, so that only the governed human would know what they reveal. The four words above form the last part of the secrets of the seal, and tells how they fooled the people into thinking paper money was real. Now Tesar means the treasury where they store the gold they stole, and Amur means to punish, like the slaves they bought and sold. Then Septent means seven, like a 1776, when the 13 devils gathered to unleash their bag of tricks. Then Sigil means the images they've created to fool the world, like the colors on Old Glory, the flag that they unfurl. Now red's for the color of the Indian man, white's for the devils who stole the land, blue's for the eyes that hypnotize with the tricks and traps they sprung. And even to this very same day, they all speak with forked tongue. And so the power's in the hands of the ruling classes, playing guard with the fate of all the masses, so the people don't get any in the lands of the plenty, cause E pluribus unum means one out of many.
Islam, Hotep, Salam, Salam Alaikum, and universal greeting to my people out there in the cyber world and the world in general. This is the Universe Concept of Itself show. Every Thursday,
what's up, what's up?
I'm your boy, Sturma Adbe, in the place.
And Ryan Shotgun,
got my co-host in the house. Got my co-host
Lucy
in the house.
Lucy Lou, you're magnificent.
What's going
Lucy
on,
Lou,
brother? How you doing?
Ryan Shotgun, what are we doing? And we got another action-packed show once again. Everybody just tune in and listen in. What's going on with you, my man? Talk to me, Stern.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm blessed, brother. I'm honored to have you on the show, brother, all the time. And we'll go right into it, bro, unless you got something else to expound to people.
Actually, I don't. That's when the twin powers activate.
Let's go right into the news then.
First up, a shooting rampage in France yesterday has the country on high alert. Schools were closed and residents are in shock after what's being called the deadliest terror attack in France in decades. Gunfire erupted in central Paris after masked gunmen stormed the offices of a newspaper yesterday. In home video, gunmen appeared to execute an injured French policeman lying on the ground. Witnesses say the gunmen stormed the editorial meeting of the Charlie Hebdo Weekly, killing four cartoonists, including the chief editor. One cartoonist who survived the attack said the shooters spoke French fluently and claimed to be members of the terror group Al-Qaeda. Authorities say at least 12 people were killed, including two police officers. Charlie Hebdo is a satirical newspaper which pokes fun at things like politics and religion and has been a target before. In 2011, the offices were firebombed after the newspaper printed an image of the Islamic prophet Mohammed. Many Muslims consider that an insult. French police have made an arrest in the case. Next up, a Connecticut teen who was diagnosed with cancer doesn't want treatment, but the state says too bad and she's getting it anyway. It's a fight scheduled to be heard by the state Supreme Court today. Cassandra is a 17-year-old diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Doctors say chemotherapy could save her life, but she doesn't want the treatment and says she has her mother's support, though she hasn't said why.
The reason doesn't matter. Once you have your right to your body, you can exercise it for any reason.
But Cassandra doesn't have the right to her body because she's not 18 years old. Cassandra appealed, and now the Connecticut Supreme Court is hearing the case. Its ruling could impact what kinds of decisions teens can make about their bodies. And last up, a time capsule buried for more than 200 years in Boston finally got cracked open to reveal some pretty awesome artifacts. It's the oldest time capsule to be found in America, at 220 years old, two centuries older than this young man, Paul Revere IV.
You get to remember our old stuff.
Paul's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, yeah, that's five greats, was the Paul Revere. In 1795, the Revolutionary War hero and the governor Samuel Adams placed the box in the Massachusetts State House. It was dug up once and reburied, and then rediscovered last month. When they cracked it open Tuesday night, they found 5 folded newspapers and 2 dozen coins, some from the 1650s. It will be on display at the Museum of Fine Arts for the public.
Islam, we back.
Yes,
we back.
What's up?
Going in the news. You know, fuck that crack of Paul with Paul Revere. But that story about how they were trying to prevent their team from getting, I mean, the team who didn't want to get the treatment, the chemotherapy treatment, and they said she didn't have the right not to get the treatment because she don't have a right of her body. That's kind of what I want to go into today. That's kind of the subject of today for the today's show. It's called the administrating of your own affairs. See, we have to understand that we have to be responsible in so many ways that most people don't even expect to be responsible. You have to be responsible and you have to be honorable. You understand me? In order for you to be an administrator of your affairs, you understand me? You have to be honorable. The reason why is because you got all these different dishonorable people around you, and they're trying to take advantage of you. You know what I'm saying? So, like I wanted to do on this show, today's show is called Administrator of Your Own Affairs. Islamo, you got any draw on that?
Actually, I'm feeling a little under weather today. My throat hurts. I'm doing as many little talking as possible. Continue on, my man.
Oh, okay, no doubt. Well, then, this show is become the administrator of your estate, title, and corpse. Corpse meaning is the root word of corporation. Because what happened was the birth certificate, people don't understand. People say the birth certificate, they intertwine you with the state and make you a warrant of the state and everything, but they don't understand how it all goes and how it all works and the lingo that goes along with it. So I'm going to go a little bit into that today on the administrating your own affairs segment that I got today. So I'm going to go right into that, Mo. Unless you got anything else to say, I'm going to go right into it, though, Mo.
All right. Well, as you was talking, a thing that did come to my head about the child with the cancer and the parents' full support, they weren't mentioning it. I can only speculate and, make conjecture and guess myself, but it appears to me that, you know, maybe they may be open to alternative medicine and want to turn down the pharmaceuticals thing that's usually designed to kill you, right? Medical marijuana has basically been proven to be an effective fighter against all kind of things, including the symptoms of cancer from, like, chemotherapy or whatever, or even the pain from cancer. Only I don't know. My prayers and my wishes go out to, and condolences go out to what this young lady and her mother are experiencing by the white power, or really the machine, the downtown political machine. They're trying to save a child's life, but they're in trying to force or enforce the particular medical methods to heal her, to remove the dis-ease and bring her back to ease. That's what comes on to me. You know, like you said, when you turns into a ward of the state, and usually a ward of the state is someone like that in the correctional facilities, anything from the youth authority to the county jails or to the penitentiary, everything that's in between that. When you a ward, that's basically ultimately you under the someone else is controlling your affairs or whatever. They're like your patron or your parent or something to that effect. They can control you basically everything except your soul, and probably not just your soul. I wouldn't say they can control your mind and your body in certain cases. That's all I got to say. You know what I mean? I figure we can reflect on trying that moving on, unless it's sparking anything. But without a doubt, you know, the universe is conscious of itself. Show we the movie, you know, we this is the show that tells the truth, and we going, you know, we only got one direction, and our direction is forward. Let's move it on to the next segment.
Yeah, that's right. But I think that emphasis want to be on the fact that she didn't have right over her body, and that was what I wanted to actually get into, because you actually do own your body, but the state made a claim on your body when you were born, and this is what needs to be rebutted in order for things to be put in proper perspective. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to go into this segment right quick, Mo. So with no further ado, I'm gonna go into this segment. We'll be right for it.
That's
okay,
right.
First of all, in the lesson, the first lesson on how to administer your own affairs is understanding that one requirement to administering your own affairs is to study, continue to study. That is one of your requirements for being an administrator of your affairs. Now, to actually understand how to administer your affairs, certain couple of definitions I want to go into. First, I want to go into the definition of person, right? Okay, let's look up the word person, right? Go like this. What's the legal definition of person? Okay. You look up the legal definition of person, right? In general usage, a human being. Now, remember that. In general usage, a human being, right?
Mm-hmm.
By statutory, however, the term can include firms, labor organizations, partnerships, associations, corporations, representations, trustees in bankruptcy, or receivers. A corporation is a person for purposes of constitutional guarantees of equal protection of law and due process of law, right? So a person is actually a fictitious entity, which is a corporation. You know what I'm saying? The origins of the word corporation is a corpse, right? Where you get the word corpse is a dead body. So you have to understand that corpse or that corporation doesn't have life until you bring it life. Now, the different way that you bring it life is to bring what you have as value and actually apply it to that corpse, which is a corporation. One thing that you do have as value, or the only one of the main things that you actually do have as value in this country, is your signature. You know what I'm saying? Your signature, as a matter of fact, in this country, based on the political status of this country and the financial status of this country, all you have in value is your signature and the way that you administer that signature. This is what I'm going to when I'm speaking on administrating your own affairs. You can't just be signing
the 14th Amendment. Constitution of the United States of the United States, part of the Bill of Rights that restricts unreasonable search and seizure and requires any warrant to be judicially sanctioned and supported by probable cause. It was adopted in response to the abuse of the risk of association, a term of general search warrants issued by the British government and a major source of tensions in pre-revolutionary America. The 14th Amendment was introduced in Congress in 1789 by James Madison, along with the other amendments in the Bill of Rights in the response to the anti-federalist objections to the new Constitution. Congress submitted the
amendment to the states on September 28, 1789. By December 15, 1791, the necessary three-quarters of the states had ratified it. On March 1, 1792, Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson announced the adoption of the amendment. Because the Bill of Rights did not initially apply to the states, and federal criminal investigations were less common in the first century of the nation's history, there is little significant case law for the Fourth Amendment before the 20th century. The amendment was held to apply to the states in Mapp versus Idaho, 1961. Under the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, including arrest, should be limited to scopes according to the specific information supplied to the issuing court. That's important. It should be limited to in scope according to the specific information. Usually by the law enforcement officer. I mean, you know they're crooked. They're gonna supply them with all type of false evidence to try to convict you on some type of shit. Who are sworn by it? The Fourth Amendment case law deals with the three central questions: what government activities constitute search and seizure, what constitutes probable cause for these activities, and how violations of Fourth Amendment rights should be addressed. Early case decisions limited the amendment scope to be law enforcement officers physically intrusion into private property, but with Katz versus United States, 1967, the Supreme Court held that it protects such as the warrants requiring extends to the privacy of the individual as well as the physical location. Law enforcement needs a warrant for most search and seizure activities by the court, but the court has defined a series of exceptions for consent search, motor vehicle search, evidence in plain sight, accident circumstances, border searches, and other situations. The exclusionary rule is, in one way, the Fourth Amendment is enforced, established in Wicks versus United States, 1914. This rule holds that evidence contained through a Fourth Amendment violation is generally inadmissible. Evidence discovered as a later result of an illegal search may also be inadmissible as fruit of poisonous tree, unless it inevitably would have been discovered by legal means.
The right to enjoy the use and advantages of another's property short of the destruction or waste of its substance.
Okay. Now, we understand the state or the government, said government, created a usufruct relationship between your title, which if you come in addressing yourself as the title, which is the artificial person or the entity that they opened up in your name, you know what I'm saying, in order to for you to even do business with the entity called the United States of America, the state of California, whatever you want to call it, they all municipal corporations, you understand me? So the only way they can even address you is through your straw man, or what's called a title, right? So So I'm explaining this because it has to be explained to get to administrating this title or the state. You know what I'm saying? When getting around to understanding how the state and how you relate to the state, the usufruct relationship with you and the state, you have to understand the trust law. When you go into trust law, you have to understand that a trust is an instrument. Let's look it up. A trust instrument.
According to Wikipedia, a trust instrument is an instrument in writing executed by a settlor used to constitute a trust. Trust instruments are generally only used in relation to an inter vivos trust. Testamentary trusts are usually created under a...
Okay. This trust instrument that the state created in your title created a legal presumption that they can address you as, so that they can interact with you. Because other than that, a corporation cannot interact with a living, breathing human being unless that living, breathing human being chooses to bring recognition to that corpse or corporation, right? Meaning that corpse does not exist until the particular human being recognizes that corpse or that entity or that instrument, right? So the courts, the state, the government created this so that those who are not aware of this particular relationship, this usufruct relationship, which creates a nexus for you, from you to the said government, that makes you co-sure tie to the national debt. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother show that I really want to stick to the subject of administrating your fear, even though that's important, but I got to go to another show to explain that. So when you understand this usufruct relationship, this nexus that you, the state builds on it, it is a claim. All these things, it's a claim or a legal presumption that the state has on you. Now, part of administrating your own affairs is correct those claims, right? You are not an artificial entity, so all you go in there and do is rebut that claim that you're an artificial entity that they're addressing you as. You are a living, breathing human being, so you use this as the language you use when you are rebutting the state's claim on your body. You understand me? Or you have the lawful and legal interest in your body, your title, and everything in your personal possession. You have the supreme interest in these things, right? So the usufruct relationship that the state created, you first rebut them. You understand me? You rebut the legal presumptions. And then you go into, because what you want to do is, you want to rebut the claim of you being the legal entity. But in order for you to communicate in good faith with that entity, you let them know that you hold supreme interest in this entity that was created by the state. You don't, you know what I'm saying, because it was created by the state, but you have the supreme interest in it. So after you rebut the state claim on your title or having any administrative power over your title, so going back into the administrator, because when your mom created the usufruct relationship with the state, and the state created a title, a trust, and the trust, once your mom signed it and gave them usufruct power over your title, gave the state the right to
handle your title, handle your affairs, you know what I'm saying, and also basically claim you as a dependent, you know what I'm saying, to the state. They basically claiming you as a dependent, you know what I'm saying, or a warrant of the state. So this is another thing that you have to clean up, right? And the way you clean it up is by, well, us as Moors, the way we clean it up is we rebut all of the legal presumptions that we're an artificial person, and we make special appearance when we're dealing with these entities, governmental institutions, and we make it clear that these entities are only exist if we allow them to, if we agree to them existing. Because I am the human being. The government does not come before the human being. The human being has to recognize the government, not the other way around. That's why I wanted to go into the Constitution, because the Constitution does not grant any rights. It just recognizes the rights that you already inalienably have. So now, understanding these things is part of administrating your affairs. Being competent is a status, a legal status in the courts. You have to be competent, meaning proper and proper persona, and proper and proper persona surgere, meaning improper person, meaning correcting the artificial person straw man argument, and also coming with in one's own authority and one's own right, and competent of how to one's own right. You understand me? So these are all statuses in court, or statuses in society. You have to be competent in order to have the status of being administrator of your affairs, or being able to be competent enough to handle your own affairs. And it's obvious those who are not, because those who are not competent in handling their affairs, they always leave it to the state. So this is how the state gets you. This is how the state makes you liable for, they make you liable for your mistakes in understanding the law. They're making you liable. So going back into the trust they create is giving you giving them trustee power over handling your affairs, right? Also, it makes them, because you split, when they split the trust, when your mom gave them usufruct power over handling your affairs, they also, because you don't know that you are beneficiary, you're going in answering as the trust, as the trustee. You're going into these courts. You're going into you're when they're addressing you as the artificial person, you're addressing them back as if you're the artificial person. And they got you. They contractually, or by your own admissions, pull you into the jurisdictions. So when they created the usufruct relationship through creating a trust, through your usufruct relationship, through your mom signing the birth certificate, and them creating, they created a trust relationship. You gave the state, your mom gave the state fiduciary duties over your titles, over your affairs. You understand me? And all that basically has to be rebutted. You understand me? And the way that you actually rebut it is not saying that, you know, like most people go in and say, "Oh, I'm the owner of that title," or "I'm the owner of that corporation." No, you want to be able to control, own nothing and control everything. So what you want to do is go in there and say, I hold the supreme interest in the title, in the trust. Now, once you go in there like that and correct them in their legal presumptions, right? Now you put the trust in its proper, in the proper way it's supposed to activate in your interest. You give, you make the public official, you understand me, which are judges, anybody elected to government, any officer, meaning officers of the court and officers, police enforcement, law enforcement officers, are trustees. See, well, when you come in there and you are addressed as a legal presumption and you accept those that way that you're being addressed as if that's you, you give into the jurisdiction and you give them power over your affairs now, showing that you're incompetent and you can't handle your own affairs, so the state takes over. They got a public pretender to handle it for you. But as you understanding this thing, this, and putting everything in its proper context, and making sure that your interest is protected when you're dealing with these entities, you go in there and clean them up and say, what interest do you have in the title? You're making a claim on our title because that's all they can do. They all operate in commerce. Everything that this entity, United States of America, does is based in commerce. The supreme law that governs that entity is the UCC.
Islam, Hotep, back to Universe Content of Itself show. That was a long segment, but it was I packed a lot of information in it, and I hope people get it or whatever, because I was kind of in not in order a little bit, but it was getting the point across based on the fact that we all have responsibilities. You understand me? And to handle our affairs, or if we don't, the state is. So,
I agree with you 360%, IK. That's fine.
Just long. Yep. But, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was one. We're going to go into the next segment then, Mo. Just keep it forward. We're going to go into this next short segment called Y'all Niggas Is Crazy If Y'all Think.
There is a covert subversive movement that has infiltrated and taken root in the nation of America, and it is the Communist Party. The Communist Party is a coalition of Uncle Toms. Some of them are Toms that are not uncles. Some of them are auntie Toms. Some of them are nephew Toms, sons and daughters. As a political party, the Communist Party pushes the communist agenda. With that being said, we introduced a segment on the Universe Is Conscious of Itself show. This segment called Y'all Niggas Is Crazy If Y'all Think.
The police is here to help you.
Y'all niggas is crazy if y'all think.
The educational system will educate your children properly.
Y'all niggas is crazy if y'all think.
So-called black people will ever get equality in this country.
Y'all
like hot music, do they? Like hot music, do they? But we'll give them a crescendo they'll never forget.
In the black section of Oakland, brings to a total of 8 the number of uprisings by black guerrillas in cities across the nation.
The president has declared a state of national emergency.
Recording the audio form, evolved slowly. Stories by heads of veterans told with glory. Sentence structures, stuff up the heavens. Rough like the acid kills tension. Craft decisions, bombs unanswered. Our enemy repented. Struggle for divine independence. Cross out the crosshairs intentions. Hate and invention. We stopped at the border. Even airways have prisons. Living our craft like religions. Limitless vision. March on these Mars compositions. Hypnotism and magnetism attract with rhythm stabs of slip math and effect grabs the vision. Spread like a rash. Infect nervous systems. Skip to the next camp distance. Jungle theories. Skills to your fury. Bound up and gagged like the bad days of Nickelback. Gunga Din, Tonsil War, Chief Ho Chi Minh. Win the battle, turn around and sell the clouds over you. Designed for the Sonic War. The force got us, follow dollars to the enemies of Cyrus. There you find them, somewhere that's dropping, popping in a hot climate line in pockets in the skies. High frequency warfare, Sonic Wars. The force got us, follow dollars to the enemies of Cyrus. There you find them, somewhere that's dropping, popping in a hot climate line in pockets in the skies. High frequency warfare. From the graveyards, I haunt your hall. Empty Krylons and the dead train attract your thoughts right on. Companies home, spark with diplomats at arms talk. Brawl like the boss court for arms, get it on. Molotov toss and bark, knock you frauds from the ballpark. With all sorts of sparks from swords, sucking gloss, you get your jaw took off. Boss, I slay the sheep of democratic. Teach the masses, leave your freedom of speech. Beat up and batted, put us under Adam. Caught in elaborate grips, signing deals, selling records, making 15 cents and shit. Porn stars having less war with censorship. They be filming that, happy rap cats are selling it. I'm blowing shit like Palestinians for settlement. Slay irrelevant, truly a lie, love intelligence. Designed for the Sonic War. The force got us, follow dollars to the enemies of Cyrus. There you find them, somewhere that's dropping, popping in a hot time and lining pockets in the skies. High frequency warfare, Sonic Wars. The force got us, follow dollars to the enemies of Cyrus. There you find them, somewhere that's dropping, popping in a hot time and lining pockets in the skies. High frequency warfare.
I look in all these hip hop magazines, I'm seeing systems. Negro college funds on your neck and fingers. What's up with these swingers in the business? Things are showing. I'm asking, I'm gonna be like, is you singing?
Oh, hey.
Hey, yo, I seen him on Sam Pam. Like, damn, that lady got some big old shots. That rapping man. In an instant, my car swerved and hit him. Another statistic of a sonic war.
Victim.
Damn.
The science, the math, the breaking it down, the action, the sound, the knowledge profound. Social politics, civics, astrology, religion, Bible, Quran, ways that we live in. All things are subject to the masters of the public and private.
No more
and
suffering
more. And silence and ignorance. It's time to realize that you're infinite. The universe conscious of itself show. With your host, Big Stern. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, immaculate, my man. What it do, nigga? What's up? Smoothie Noel Magnifico, ride shotgun. What's up?
Man, move forward. And then you got
move forward.
Add to the build. We building no nation. We building no nation, no.
That's
word
right.
For the day is nationhood.
Word for the day is fact is nationhood. And
no doubt.
Save the nation, nah. Let's go. That's the phrase it pays. Off anyway.
What you saw was a black duck. Played and portrayed like he was whack. What the fuck was you doing? The image of the duck you tried to ruin. So we were pursuing like Wild E. Coyote. You dig it? Sylvester and Tweety, Gonzalez and Speedy. But the duck, I bet you nobody knows he was supposed to represent a nigga. You wonder how we figure? Cause when Bugs got the laugh, that he got the trigger. Elmer Fudd was a goddamn blood clot. So how that sucker own a mansion and a yacht? He got paid through exploitation of a brother, so to speak. Whose lips resembled the beak, and now he's known only as the late night runner. You've seen the last of the great white hunter. Removed without no further ado, now smoking crack or mac and honeys with Pepe Le Pew. See, you didn't think we knew the plan, or could possibly understand. Daffy was a black man.
Absolutely, 100% correct.
you're just despicable. The way you thought that we were trickable. If you believe in receiving buzz, there's our hero. No, he's not too colorful. So why even should we? We hate the freaking flag. How the heck are we like Woody, the wood chewer, who always tried to do a buzzer, but wasn't because of the fact that buzzer too is black. Fucky Pig woulda loved that.
That's right.
And that's all folks was whack. Act like you didn't notice to uncover a brother with beaks and feathers instead of sheets and leathers. Whatever the reasoning, for rap seasoning, they thought we were dumb, got slick, and picked a chicken wing. Painted it black, called it a mallet duck, but mallet ducks are great. So now what's up? And the brother like Ra has come along. I bought the map, D.O.P. brought the gun along. From New York City down south to Selma. Be very, very quiet with hunting Elma. Your days are up, your times are numbered, right? And exact, and boom, Dappy was a black man.
Power stuff later. But that's what I mean. In this segment of that upper level, the stuff that
next episode, we gonna deal with the undercover origin and the subliminal messages of many popular superheroes. That other level.
Going forward, man.
You know, we just got to another level, man. You know, it's stuff that matters, man. I mean, you know, I'm sick of these cartoons putting this in our face and we just being oblivious to it. You know what I mean? Exactly. I mean, we had to kick on that other level. Definitely. Let's keep it forward.
Let's keep it moving. Got another segment that I want to do. I want to get your opinion on it after this, Mo. And let's go right into it.
Hip-hop is a form of music expression and artistic culture that originated in African-American communities. During the 1970s in New York City, DJ pillars of hip-hop culture, the King, DJing, breaking, and graffiti writing. Other elements include beatboxing.
And I would include knowledge of self in the elements of hip-hop. So altogether, MCing, DJing, breakdancing, graffiti, writing, beatboxing, and knowledge of self would add up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 elements so far. Then now people add other elements to, like entrepreneurism to the element and whatever. But those are the basic elements, right? So I wanted to deal with the issue of, you got a lot of artists, like I recently seen a picture of Lil Wayne wearing a t-shirt that says I am hip hop. And I see a lot of rappers wear I am hip hop t-shirts. Now I understand that you are saying you are an advocate of hip hop, you're a supporter of hip hop, and you love hip hop, right? But in, to me personally, just from my upbringing and my understanding, me coming up in hip hop and being expected to live up to a certain standard as it pertains to the art of hip hop and how you present the art of hip hop and the skill level it takes to become what is called hip hop, right? Right. I came out of that era. I came out of where you had to at least exhibit 3 elements of hip hop in order to call yourself hip hop. So the basics, my basics of this particular segment is to say that all y'all claiming to be hip hop and all you do is rap, then your claims are not as valid as you think they are, because like I said, I came up in an era where you have to at least have 3 elements under your back before you, under your belt, before you can continue, you can call yourself hip hop. Now, me personally, I have graffiti, MCing, DJing, entrepreneurism, and knowledge of self. So I have at least 5 elements under my belt, meaning I can do all 5 of those elements. So that makes me officially hip-hop. Because rap is something you do, hip-hop is something you live. So rap is just a part of being hip-hop. You can't just rap and say, oh, I am hip-hop. You have to be able to rap, DJ, break dance. You know what I'm saying? At least 3 elements to even consider yourself hip-hop. Well, that's just what I wanted to go into today. You are not hip-hop unless you accomplished at least 3 to 4 elements. You understand me? Unless you have 3 to 4 elements on your back and you're skilled in these elements. You know what I'm saying? You have to be skilled in either DJing, breakdancing, are in rap, are entrepreneurism, self-knowledge, and beatboxing. I say only three. I say at least three. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to even consider yourself hip hop, but to actually be hip hop, you gotta have participated in all three, and have skills in all three elements, all five elements. My bad. You have to be able to have been a participant in all five elements and have skill in all five or six elements.
Beware,
what you thought punk shit was sweet, now you can't sleep. Gotta keep your eyes open wide and hide your face from the streets. I'm like the beast with a warrant, far from a Norman. Gave you fair warning, now you wanna stand squalling. I'm calling out any rapper that I doubt. Smack him in the mouth, throw him in the yoke, boom, and I knock him out. No doubt, Freddy Fox pals, 20 shot, auto clock plow. Many blind corner rocks down, water with a stick, the black and the brown. Push your cap in the mouth, sleep with the fish, ditch for yapping too loud. What's happening now? Niggas is hard as hell. They Gargamel, sticking on the smallest victim, gives them heart to kill. My smallest will and holds it down the hardest, regardless. For size of the largest, we polish the floor with the rawest, hardcore artist. Flawless victory, your niggas can't do shit to me. Physically, lyrically, hypothetically, realistically, illegal epitome of catch a wreck. Catch you when you cash a check, smash you when you pass the check before your fucking legs. Nothing less than the best if the squad did it. Hard headed niggas better beware and fear, like God said it. God said it. All niggas can do is mourn you. I'm born to kill and still thrilled to put it on you. There's no regrets, remorse only results in loneliness. Only the strong survive and strive through life as warriors. All of us die, some of us killed, even massacred. Who wanna try? Punish your will if you ask for it. I'm hazardous for your health and held your next stop. For real, my shit's cocked, the world, the shit has stopped. I'm not the one you should be underestimating. Confess your fate and I guarantee I'll be under investigation. You can't handle the whole, I'll slam you on your soul. Or we can go blow for blow like Evander and Bo. Though I still hold the title, we know my Bible's a chance to dance with Mr. Homicidal. And on the Bible, I swear to defend my crown. I've been around since forever and never let it touch the ground. Don't walk around and catch a rude awakening. My crew's basically waiting patiently for you to move your patrons in. The world around you form, there's a storm and pound you. Look around you, terror squads everywhere like sound you. The boogie down, do it like nobody. Who are we? The foundation, you facing the whole army.
More than 6,000 years ago, in the land called Mesopotamia, there developed the most remarkable civilization then known to mankind. This civilization was centered between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. These rivers begin in the mountains of Armenia and flow in a southeastern direction towards the Persian Gulf. The soil of this area is tremendously fertile because of the alluvial deposits brought down by the two rivers. European civilization developed from ancient black civilization. Without this black civilization, white domination and influence as we know it today would have been improbable. A number of different tribes were entrenched in the southern part of the Tigris-Euphrates River region. This southern section was known at different times by many names, among which are Sumer, Akkad, and Chaldea. But the name best known to us is Babylonia. This area was also the location of the Garden of Eden, and the people of this region were jet black. I shall prove conclusively that the black people have the most ancient history of all humans. The best available source of proof is the history of the Jews, known as the Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, it is written, "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. There were four rivers which watered the Garden of Eden. I shall cite the third and the fourth rivers first, then I shall proceed to the first and the second rivers, because it fits better into my line of reasoning." Genesis chapter 2, verse 14 reads, "And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates." Commentators and scholars have identified the river Hiddekel. They say it is the Tigris River. Now I shall cite Genesis chapter 2, verse 13, "And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia." Because the Garden of Eden is associated with the land of Ethiopia, we can conclude that the people were black. Rashi, the 11th century commentator on the Bible, said that the Gihon is the Nile River that bows through eastern Africa. Rashi most likely makes this point because the Nile flows in Ethiopia and into Egypt. Dr. Spicer, who was a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, said, "There is no basis for the detouring of the Gihon to Ethiopia." He meant the Ethiopian Africa, not to mention the Paishan in various remote regions of the world. I agree with Dr. Spicer that we should not search for the Gihon in Africa, nor the Paishan in a remote area of the earth, but that we should search for the Paishan and the Gihon in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. There were two Ethiopian nations in ancient times, Eastern Ethiopia and Western Ethiopia. This point, Dr. Spicer failed to elucidate, possibly because of an oversight. There was an Ethiopian civilization in southern Mesopotamia, Babylon, but the people in this region did not use their tribal name, Ethiopia, to designate their nationality. They called themselves by the name of the cities that they constructed and inhabited, or they called themselves by the event that happened there. For example, God confused the language of the people at the Tower of Babel. Babel means confusion in Hebrew. This is why the Ethiopian tribes called themselves Babylonians, referring to the name of the city that they constructed. There are many nations that are not designated by their true nationality. For example, the white Australians came from England, but those Englishmen who live in Australia do not call themselves by their ancestral name. They call themselves by the name of the country which they colonized, which is Australia. The people of Australia are represented in the United Nations by the name of their nation, Australia, and not under their ancestral name, England. The people who resided in the lower part of the Tigris-Euphrates Valley were Ethiopian, black in complexion. We read in Genesis chapter 10, verse 8, that Cush begot Nimrod. The word Cush means Ethiopian, and Cush was the father of the Ethiopians. For the meaning of the word Cush, see Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary. Nimrod was a mighty Ethiopian conqueror and builder in the land of Shinar. We find in Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, that Nimrod ruled over such cities as Babylon, Erech, Akkad. All these cities are situated in the land of Shinar. Another name for Shinar is Sumer. This civilization was a high order, and one of the oldest civilizations in ancient times. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 7, we read, "And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah." Now we have learned that Havilah was the son of Cush, who was an Ethiopian. The word Havilah became the name of a tribe and a region known as the Land of Havilah. And the Havilites, Ethiopians, lived in the Land of Havilah. Moreover, scholars have located this land near the Persian Gulf. In search of the Land of Havilah, we find that there was another Havilah, who one of the sons of Joktan. Read Genesis chapter 10, verse 26 to 29. But this Havilah was the line of Shem. Read Genesis chapter 10, verse 22. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The children of Shem are called Shemites. The sons of Ham are called Hamites. And the sons of Japheth are called Japhites. We should not confuse Havilah, the son of Joktan, with Havilah, the son of Cush. Now it is logical to conclude that Havilah, the son of Cush, is intended in Genesis chapter 2, verse 11, to be the Havilah of the land of Havilah, because that Havilah was a Cushite, Ethiopian. His habitation would naturally be adjacent to his brother, Nimrod, who ruled Babylon. Abraham was one of the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel, and Abraham's father, Terah, came from the land of Ur, or the Chaldees, Genesis chapter 11, verse 26 to 28. The land of Ur of the Chaldees was located at the southern part of the Euphrates. The Chaldeans were one of many Cushite tribes. Cush means black, according to the Bible dictionary. This dictionary defines
the science, the math, the breaking it down, the action, the sound, the knowledge profound, social politics, civic, astrology, religion, Bible, Quran, ways that we live in, all things are subject to the masters of the public and private, no more and suffering more. And silence and ignorance, it's time to realize that you infinite, the universe conscious of itself shows, with your host, Big Stern, yeah.
And my brother, the co-host, Moosey Moot. What's up with you, Moosey? What's up with you, Mo?
Not a drop. Really, what's happening with it? It was real heavy, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, all of it. It was really a whole bunch of that. I agree with everything what you said with the elements of hip-hop and all of that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, boys, you know, a little bootleg funky lesson. I mean, yours is a real funky lesson, but that was, you know, immaculate as well. What else you got back there in your mind, mastermind?
Man, we building, Mo. We keep it moving. We got 22 minutes in the show. I'm going to use this segment right now to put out the phone number for those who want to call in, 713-955-0522. We got 22 minutes in the show. I'm going to put that number out there, 713-955-0522. For those who want to come in, who want to comment, who want to build, you understand me, because this is the time. We're going to play some more music until then. Any more comments, questions, call in, 713-955-0522.
That's all good, man. Don't go move through it, man. Handle it.
You got the shell.
Relax your mind, let your conscience be free, and get down to the sounds of your PMD. But you should keep quiet while the MC rap. But if you're tired, then go take a nap. Or stay awake and watch the show I take, because right now I'm about to shake and bake. The E-R-I-C-K is my name, I spell. Thanks to the clientele, yo, I rock well. I'm not an MC who talking all that junk about who can beat who. Sound like a punk. I just get down and I go for mine. Say check 1-2, I run down the line.
To the average MC, I'm known as the Terminator, funky beat maker, new Jack Terminator, destroying a ploy, when your rhymes in our void, never sweating your girl, YP, she's a schizoid, when I'm on the scene, I always rock the spot, I grab the steel with the crown on top, in the beginning, I like to let my rhymes flow, and at 12, I press cruise control, sit back and relax, let my rhymes tax,
Maintain them seeds while the doubly matters. Always calm under pressure, no need to act ill. Listen when I tell you, boy, you got some shit. Personal computer information on rap. Like the BRZ, my kisses, I make your toes tap. I format the rhymes step by step, make them sound deaf to maintain my rap. Prepare to come off in case of a diss. Don't worry about the thing, cause we can do this. I can turn the party out just by standing still. Make a lady scream and shout while the brothers act ill. Take total control of your body and soul. Pack a nine in my pants when it's time to roll.
I'm the P-E-E-M-D-E-E. And one thing I hate is the biting MC. When I enter the party, suckers always form a line. Then they ease their way up and try to bite my lines. I did thousands of shows, dish many faces, and deal with New Jack on a one-to-one basis. But every now and then a sucker MC gets courageous, and like an epidemic it becomes contagious. But nevertheless, they all R.I.P. All is underwear, it means rest in peace, cause MD stands for microphone doctor in the capital P, capital M, capital D, E's, no doubt the G-Rocker. Don't like to get ill, but if I have to, I kill. So believe me, boy, you got the shit.
Catch every word I'm saying, no, it's no delaying. Don't hesitate to motivate the crowd, I'm not playing. Seeing is believing, you catch my drift. I try to interact because I'm just too swift.
How swift?
I'm so swift and that's a natural fact. I'm like Zorro, I'm all K.E. in your back. I don't swing on no ropes or no iron cords. The only weapon is my rapping sword.
Intimidate MCs with the tone of my vocal throne. When I'm dishing on the microphone, cause I'm the funky rhyme maker. MC Undertaker, the one who likes to max and relax. And when it's time, it should dig 'em smack. I keep the hands clapping, fingers snapping, feet tapping. When it's time to roll, Uzi Patrol is packing. The P&B, the mic's my only friend. And through the course of the party, I kill again and again. So if you're thinking about battling, you better come prepared. Come with your shield and your arm again. You got some shit.
DJ LaBoss.
Thank you. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa dahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his last prophet. I also give honor to my illustrious and industrious forefathers, the most honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and noble Drew Ali. And I greet my beloved brothers and sisters in the struggle, the ills and bays with their wills and ways on these shores and abroad, and the humble words of peace of assalamu alaikum. And what I mean by that is sincerely my brother, my sister, and all that is on our team within earshot of this, I sincerely wish peace be upon you and your loved ones and your near and dear ones. I also send peace upon the martyrs and those who dedicated their lives to the struggle for liberation, such as Alprentice Bunchy Carter, or Irvin Hakeem Bey, or Kwame Nkrumah, or Jameel Alameen, or Don Dazaleen, or Geronimo Jijaga, and many other countless freedom fighters who given the ultimate price for liberation, and the brothers who are the political prisoners who are unjustly incarcerated, and every other brother unjustly incarcerated. So we are the Maroon Communities of North America Imperial League, founded in the year 1979 A.D. from the ashes of the Moorish Temple of the Science and forged in the revolutionary spirit of the Alprentice Bunchy Carter of the Black Panther Party, marked from the death and glorious martyrdom of co-founder Irvin Hakeem Bey. The principal purposes of the league has been primarily for the uplifting of fallen humanity and to reestablish order amid the chaos here in the wilderness of North America under the leadership of our Grand Sheikh, the noble chief Kareem Bey, who sits in the seat of authority of the Prophet al-Mustafa Muhammad amongst us. Historically speaking, the Maroons are a collective band of ex-slaves who overthrew their oppressors and went to the hills and formed a then contemporary civilization in the last age. If one takes a closer look at the Maroons, you'll see that they're none other than the Moors who from North Africa who invaded Spain in 711, held down till 1492, and they're the ones who set the laws and criterion with medicine, mathematics, astronomy, astrology, architecture, agriculture, and many other sciences. John G. Jackson, who writes the introduction in Stanley Lane Poole's book, The Story of the Moors in Spain, says, "The decline and fall of the Moorish Empire was a great setback to modern civilization. Had this great African culture been able to survive, the world would have been 500 years more advanced than it is today." So after the Moors fell out of power in 1492, some took it to the seven seas. And J.A. Rogers, in his book, Nature Knows No Color Line, page 62, says, and I quote, "The Moors were finally thrust out of Spain in the 17th century, but they continued to be a maritime power. Moorish sea rovers raided the coast of Western Europe and the British Isles for slaves, whom they sold in the great white market at Sallee." C.M. Bay, in his book, The Clock of Destiny, he says, and on volume 1, page 34, he says, "The undefeated Moorish Marine Force of North America and in the Pacific Ocean, 1853, at the Golden Gate, California. The Japanese or Spanish are the product of the undefeated Moorish Marine Force in the year 1273 Moorish calendar year, which is the equivalent of 1853 Christian calendar that year. During that era, their skin were dark brown. They also had thick lips and kinky hair. So also the Moors of modern Hawaii and the Philippines had thick lips and dark hair and dark skin and kinky hair. Pardon me. The modern Japanese in the Philippines and the Hawaiian skins are of a golden shade owing to their one-sided relationship between white men and dark-skinned women. So the others that were enslaved, they were dehumanized and stripped of their nationality. And when they were once Moors, they were brought down to Moriscos, then blacker Moors, then finally Negro, black, and colored. And they were placed in various plantations across the globe, most notably in North America, where they suffered the atrocities such as rape, castration, Willie Lynch syndrome, brutality, lynch mobs, and death, among other things.
So these Moorish warriors, whose will to be free and to submit to no one but Almighty God Allah was too strong for them to be kept in captivity for the rest of their days. So they carefully planned for weeks, months, even decades, waiting for the right moment and the right time to strike. And what they would do is usually pass secret messages, BIA, like the Negro spirituals and whatnot, you know, like Follow the Drinking Gourd. They pass it, you know, real slick. They was tough. You know, check out Sankofa and other flicks that go more into that. You know what I'm saying? So what they would do, they would pass their messages on how to take the escape route, you know, and everything that they needed to know. And they'd wait to something like, you know, one of the European holidays, like Christmas or Labor Day, or, you know, Easter or something like that, you know, whatever kind of day that they eat food and just, you know, get drunk. And they let them eat and drink till they content hearts delight, till they get all sleepy and drowsy, and then they finally fall asleep. And then that one brave brother, he'd smuggle the heat off the oppressor, and he'd blow him right off in the chest like, BAM! Next thing you know, lights come on. Here comes his son, Hoss, coming down the stairs. What's going on here? Revolution cracker! POW! Blow him up! They run up to the slave quarters, and they see him, this other slave master, raping one of our sisters and making her, bringing it down to the level of a prostitute and submit to his boyhood. And he comes in the room and says, Revolution cracker! POW! Blew his head off. The sister starts screaming. Ah! Ah! Blood all on him. They get up, get that off him, man. Wipe him up. You talk about bad sis. My bad, we didn't mean to do that, but we about to get off. And he said, you know, she slapped him. Don't you ever do that again. Give me that heat. And she dump on that dead body. Pow! And they blow that damn plantation to the ground. And yes, may God damn the damn plantation.
The plantation.
Yes.
And they'd escape into the darkness of the night toward their uncertain destiny and freedom. Armed only with their faith in Allah and their knowledge of the stars to navigate the safe havens in the hills and the swamps and other then unventured terrain. The noble chief Kareem Bey teaches us that these maroons, once they made their escape from the plantation, they used to look for the North Pole Star. They said, where's it at? We got to get up out of here. Wait a minute, that's North. All right, wait a minute. We're going the wrong way. We're going into the city of Bethlehem, man. We about to get lynched there, man. We got to go to the east, and we can get to the Mississippi. We can get up out of here and be outro. So the Holy Quran of Mecca, which was revealed in the language of Arabic, the language we were speaking before English was forced upon our people, in Surah 6, Ayats 97 and 98 says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Taliku isba waja'a layla sakana wa shamsa wal kamara husbana talika tatirul aziz wal alim wa huwa alladhi ja'ala lakum nujuma litahtadu biha fi zulumati bari wal bahr kad fatana ayati liqaumin yalamun. And that translates into, he, the cleaver of the dawn, hath made the night for rest, and the sun and the moon for reckoning time. This is the measuring of the Almighty, the All-Knowing Lord. And he it is who made the stars, that ye may be rightly guided by observing them in the darkness of the land and sea. Indeed, have we made plain the signs for people who can know. And before we fail, we knew ourselves. George G.M. James, in his book, his acclaimed masterpiece, Stolen Legacy, on pages 39 and 40, says thus, during the Persian, Greek, and Roman invasions, large numbers of Egyptians fled not only to the desert and mountain regions, but also to adjacent lands in Africa, Arabia, and Asia Minor, where they lived and secretly developed the teachings which belonged to their mystery system. In the 8th century A.D., the Moors, natives of Mauritania and North Africa, invaded Spain and took with them the Egyptian culture, which they had preserved. Knowledge in the ancient days was centralized. It belonged to a common parent and system, the wisdom teaching or mysteries of Egypt, which the Greeks used to call Sophia. As such, the people of North Africa were the neighbors of the Egyptians and became the custodians of the Egyptian culture, which they spread through considerable portions of Africa, Asia Minor, and Europe. Page 40. They were really the recognized custodians of African culture, to whom the world looked for enlightenment. Consequently, through the medium of the ancient Arabic language, philosophy and the various branches of science were disseminated. A. All the so-called works of Aristotle and metaphysics, moral philosophy, and natural science. B.
translations by Leonardo Paisano in Arabic mathematical science. C, translations by Gidio, a monk of Arezzo, in musical notation. In addition, the Moors kept up constant contact with Mother Egypt, for they had established caliphates not only in Baghdad and Cordoba, but also in Cairo in Egypt.
Is a production of multimedia music production and community activist company, provides many services to the community, and most of them are free, like artist interviews on blogtalkradio.com/stern74. Go check that out. Also, I provide airplay on an internationally publicated internet broadcast at stern.podomatic.com. They pay our licensing fee, which means if you own the rights to your works, it increases the chances of getting a royalty check. Stern is a production also provides music business consulting. Any questions you have on copyrights, contract, branding, publishing, call me at 323-592-6720 or email me at sternmaat@yahoo.com.
Now those of you that are out in radio land, this is the goal.